Hello everyone and welcome to Orbital, the Gadgets 360 podcast. In today's episode, we are going to be talking about a telecom operator in India called Reliance Jio, which has launched a new offer for its customers. And we are also going to be talking about a new app called YouTube Go and something about WhatsApp enabling payments in India. So all of this is very interesting. So talk about it. We have our payments and telecom expert, that is Gopal Sathe.
Hey there.
And we also have another person who's keenly tuned to this industry, that is Rishi Albani.
Greetings.
And I'm your host, Pranay Parab. So first of all, I think we should start with the whole Jio summer surprise offer. So we've spoken about Jio quite a few times on this podcast, and mostly it's been saying that, okay, Jio is giving free offers. So now let's just see what happens once they start making people pay. So the summer surprise offer kind of goes against that, right? Even though it's only available for people who've paid like a very small sum, which is what, 99 rupees for a year?
That's right. It's 99 rupees for the Jio Prime subscription, which is for 1 year. But you also have to subscribe for the 303 rupees for 1 month plan or a higher plan than that.
Yeah, so that's still like a very small sum to pay for basically 3 months of free service, right?
Absolutely. I mean, looking at it like this, you're getting 3 months of free service at 1 GB per day, which includes all of Jio's other offerings. So it's essentially the Happy New Year offer, the free offer, which went on from January for an additional 3 months.
Yeah, and speaking of the Happy New Year offer, that's been extended by another 15 days. Like, this is some school exam where, like, there's a grace period for you to complete your assignments.
So, yeah, it's really weird because to me, it just seems that this extension for them from an accounting standpoint probably falls under that nebulous place called user acquisition. And I think it probably ties into the fact that they may have not met their acquisition rates. Deals like this shouldn't go on for so long. It's just unnatural.
So, you know, Rishi, it's interesting that you say that because what reports were coming out earlier were that Jio's target was 50 million Prime subscribers. And when Jio announced the summer surprise and the extension, they also revealed that they have already signed up 72 million people. So that's kind of interesting. And it's very hard now to say why, what exactly motivated this decision. Apart from maybe the fear that if we go completely paid on day one, then we'll suddenly see users dropping off. But yeah, it's become very intriguing.
I think it's possible. If you're saying that they got probably close to 70 million users right now, I think the logic probably is that they want to be safe in case there's a drop off. So, I mean, it's not like all 70 million will just drop off and go to someone else the next day. But they just want to prevent any possibility of that happening.
Yeah.
Yeah, so their target when they first launched was 100 million, I think. And I don't remember what time exactly Mr. Ambani mentioned that he wants to achieve this target. But clearly they are like a little short of that. And I suppose with the free offer, like kind of, you know, tailing off now, it's in its last 10 days right now. So I suppose they were worried that maybe once the free services are gone and people have to pay, even if it is something like a small sum, like say 400 rupees for 3 months, basically, they were worried that, you know, if they don't give this summer surprise offer, maybe these people will just stop using Jio.
You know, that is a real possibility. That's what my belief has been with Prime all along, that it's a way of ensuring that people don't stop using Jio. And this and extending the deadline all seem like ways of making sure that, look, Jio is your home now. This is where you stay.
Yeah, and ultimately, like, I mean, we've already been hearing a lot of complaints from other telcos in this space. So, first of all, like the likes of Vodafone and Airtel have been saying that this is anti-competitive. So, is there any truth to that allegation?
Well, okay. So, first of all, there's the question of how long the free offers can run, which is supposed to be only for 90 days. And we are seeing it now go for 9 months, which is three times that long. Because they've just announced one new offer after another.
So yeah, that's the like first thing. It's like a seasonal thing, right? Every season they have a new offer.
Pretty much. Other thing is whether it's actually anti-competitive or not. And this was something which was brought up earlier as well, around the time that the Happy New Year offer was announced. And at that time, at least, Tri felt that there weren't enough subscribers to suggest that this was actually anti-competitive. But today, as the numbers keep rising, I don't know. It's a tougher question to answer. And it's going to be interesting to see if the CCI actually gets invoked by any of the others.
Yeah, that's the Competition Commission of India.
Right.
I think what's probably going to happen is we're going to see this. I mean, at least if I look at it from a long-term standpoint, even if they replace these deals, they'll have to replace it with something that, as Gopal said, make sure that Jio is your home. But, you know, a home is nothing without any kind of, you know, interior decorating, so to speak. So I won't be... And we do know that Reliance has been testing Android set-top boxes. We do know that they've been testing the NVIDIA Shield and the cloud-based services to a large degree. So it's just a matter of time before we see these being rolled out as well to add more value to existing users. And when that happens, I think to me at least, as someone who, you know, is a massive consumer of high-speed internet, I think that'll be a bigger draw than the current deals right now. So it's just a question of when the content actually comes into play right now. That's how I see it, because you already reached critical mass or close to critical mass in an install base. Now it's just a question of making sure they're, you know, taken care of on what they can do with it.
No, I was just saying that Rishi's right, that there are these rumors around of Jio rolling out gigabit internet connections. And if it launches, let's say, just imagine this, okay, that Jio decides that you get 3 months of free gigabit internet access if you have a Jio mobile connection. I mean, can you imagine the kind of network effects which come in when they have all these different services playing together, the kind of leverage they'll be able to apply on all these different spaces?
Yeah, that's actually a little scary to think of it, honestly. because if you say that, okay, that's almost like what we're hearing with Aadhaar, right, with the government. Like, if you don't have an Aadhaar, basically soon you won't be allowed to breathe or something.
Yeah, Gopal, go ahead.
Jio doesn't really give you your government services, so I think that's not the same, but it is definitely still kind of worrying in concepts of a monopolistic setup, but I think we're still a ways away from that happening.
I don't know. I mean, to me, I'm not more worried of it being a monopoly more than having exclusivity in terms of actual content. Because if you think about it, the end goal to me seems that you want to build an ecosystem to plug in every possible Reliance service. And to me, Jio is the best gateway drug to do that. And it's just a question of how soon the other parts of the equation come into play. I mean, we've heard things, we've seen things that, you know, the plan is to actually roll out a set-top box, roll out content. They have deals in place with EA. They have deals in place with other content creators and content makers. And it's just a question of when all that comes together for what could be the perfect storm. But would it actually be monopolistic? I don't know. I mean, considering the amount of choice we have on offer, I don't think so just yet.
Yeah, so again, like we said this in the last episode as well, that, you know, right now Jio is a very good way to get a good offer from your telco or maybe your internet provider, as we've already noticed. Everybody, at least in Bombay, this has been happening a lot. A lot of people have been getting calls from their internet providers saying that, listen, at the same price, we are going to give you a much better plan. So do you want that? I mean, instead of getting like 100 GB of FUP, do you want 1 TB of FUP at same or lower rates? So, I mean, who's going to say no to something like that?
And what's interesting is that they've gone beyond that. Now aside from upping your FUP, they want you to stick around for a longer period of time. So when my ISP Hathway decided to give me 1.5 terabytes at the same price, I was getting 400 gigs of FUP. That was for 3 months. Now when I renewed for 3 months, they're like, why don't you renew for a year straight? We'll give you 3 months more on top of that. So everyone seems to be in retention mode where they want to keep everyone from moving out.
Yeah, true that. Also, okay, Gopal, one thing I wanted to check with you. I suppose we did mention it briefly, but why exactly does Jio Prime exist? And why do people get such great offers that you can see? I mean, Jio Prime versus non-Prime plans. Basically, for something like 96 rupees, you're getting 7 GB if you pay 99 rupees a year, as opposed to 600 MB if you don't do that. So why are these crazy offers in place at such a low subscription rate?
Okay, so, you know, first of all, let's just address the other plans. You can see that even the non-Prime plans were pretty competitive when they rolled out. They were pretty good plans, and we said so way back in September. But you're right, Prime is giving absolutely crazy plans. So why is that? Well, it locks you in for a year, right? I know it's not much. It's just 99 rupees for the full year. That's less than 10 rupees a month for Prime. But once you've paid that, there's that whole sense of, well, maybe I should be making use of this since I've already paid for it, you know? It's just about tying you in. And in that way, it's a great way because they are not charging too much for it. They are giving ridiculous benefits for it. And by doing that, they're more or less, hopefully for them, ensuring that people actually stick around for a year.
Yeah, so this is not really a way to make money, more so to keep people in the ecosystem. Yeah, that does make sense. But, you know, the disparity between the Jio Prime and the non-Jio Prime plans is so much that it only... Yeah, it makes sense to just pay them whatever, 99 rupees a year and enjoy these services.
But that's the whole trap, right? I mean, oh, it makes sense to pay them. And so I paid them. And now, well, I've already paid for this. I might as well use it. And then a whole year has passed and you've been paying them the entire time.
Yeah. So another thing I noticed in this whole situation is that, okay, now that this you've paid for Jio Prime, they have one very good advertisement right in the beginning, which is the summer surprise offer. So, okay, you paid 99 rupees. Now, not only do you get these crazy plans where like there's 7 GB data for, I think, a month for 96 rupees. And on top of that, you also get 3 months of free service. So you don't even have to like really, you know, do any crazy recharges like every month. You don't have to pay a crazy sums at all. So it seems like a perfectly reasonable plan, except, I mean... we've already complained multiple times about Jio networks and Jio speeds not exactly being what they were promised to be earlier. So because of this free plan, do you think it's going to continue the situation as it was for the last 2 months or so?
I mean, I can tell you this much. I was really looking forward to Jio going paid just to see what impact that would have on my speeds. I'm kind of disappointed, honestly, by the summer surprise for that reason. Let's see is all I can say. I hope that it gets better. It is not so bad anymore, I have to say. I do still often have to switch on Vodafone when I'm inside some buildings or when I'm on the road. But otherwise, Jio has become more and more reliable over time as they are working on increasing their capacity as well.
Yeah, so partly the reason I'm looking forward to the end of this whole free trial or whatever is because, you know, like, as you've already noticed, that there are people who will not even pay for Jio Prime. So those who don't pay that 99 rupees, they will at least be out of the equation. So basically the free tier of people, like people who are not paying but using a lot of internet, that will be out, which will probably reduce a bit of the load and make the experience much better for people who've paid for it.
I don't know. I would disagree there. I think what's probably going to happen is people who are on the free plan would probably upgrade. Because let's be honest, everyone I know, at least anecdotally, everyone I've spoken to, the moment you go high-speed internet, you can't go back to anything else. You might get your fix on another service provider, but you're not. But what once it sets in, once you know what life's like or better internet, you don't want to go back. So I think I'm of the opinion that it might... Even if people migrate, they'll migrate to another service, but they're not going to stop watching YouTube. They're not going to stop, you know, checking out Facebook. They're not going to stop doing what they've been doing because that's counterintuitive to what they do anyway.
Yeah, fair enough. That does make sense. But on that note, I think we should segue to another topic which we thought we'd be discussing on this podcast. So yeah, YouTube has launched a new app. I mean, in this day and age when there's fast internet everywhere, launching an app called YouTube Go, which is targeted at people who don't have fast internet, does that even make sense anymore?
Yeah, I mean, look, not everybody has fast internet just yet, you know. Especially once you get out of the cities, once you get into the smaller towns, it's still spotty, it's still patchy out there. And in those scenarios, YouTube Go is not necessarily a bad idea.
I think it's, to me, it's more than actually giving users a service. It seems like another way to get advertisers to pay more because you're essentially reaching an audience that hasn't been tapped before, right? And or hasn't been tapped to a degree that, well, most marketers or advertisers would like. So if you're giving them an option to download the video, I mean, you're essentially also telling them that whatever pre-roll ad is there, you're going to be downloading that as well. And it just makes sense from a commercial and business standpoint because, again, YouTube's free. You are the audience. You are the product as well. So it's pretty interesting to see. I'd love to be a fly on the wall on those meetings to figure out how much advertisers are actually going to be paying YouTube for the privilege of, you know, bundling ads on YouTube Go.
Yeah, I mean, look, the fact is that internet connectivity is getting better. Access is getting cheaper. So and the phones that people are using are also getting better. It's worth pointing out. So do we really need something like YouTube Go? I think it's more of a temporary band-aid rather than a real necessary fix at this point. But look, although another point that has to be brought up is that although it's been launched in India, it is being rolled out in other parts of the world, or it's supposed to be rolled out in other parts of the world also over time. And in fact, this was something which Google had stated was one of the first, one of the products which was developed in India for global use. So look at countries in, you know, other parts of the world which also have poor internet access, such as in South America or in the Middle East, Africa, etc. In all of these markets also, it could well have an impact or important role to play before the networks and the devices, etc. catch up over there as well.
Yeah, so my only question to Google is, you announced this first on September 27th of 2016. Why does it take you till April to launch an app like this? It's from whatever I can see, it seems like a fairly simple app to implement. It's not nothing like magic or anything on this. But yeah, I mean, it has taken them quite a long time, hasn't it?
Well, it's not really that long in my opinion, but...
I mean, I just think it's probably, I mean, sure, man, like you waited quite a while after the announcement, but I think it's also a question of once you announce it, you have it allows for all of the stakeholders or the people interested in, or who have a say in how YouTube's doing stuff, you know, like some of their biggest content partners. It gives them time to adapt, to roll out, to figure out things in time for a launch. Because at the end of the day, it's not just a question of YouTube flipping a switch and saying, hey man, you can download stuff. It's also a question of content creators allowing for this, giving the consent for this. And as far as I know, some of the bigger players, such as Vivo, they don't exactly... They're not exactly fine with people in countries like India downloading their content, even though it's a temporary download. It's still frowned upon to a large degree. So I think the announcement was made to ensure the content owners are on board with this, or at least it gives YouTube that time to get them on board with this before taking it forward. At least that's what it would seem like to me.
Yeah, but in the meantime, this whole Jio so-called revolution in air quotes happened. And maybe that's probably pushed India to much faster internet speeds than what we had before in terms of the number of people who now have access to 4G. So maybe this app is a bit late to the game at this point.
I mean, I don't know, in a country where I think the minimum required internet speed seems to be 2 Mbps, I think every bit helps. So... every audience helps.
Yeah, trust Rishi to come up with a good pun all the time. Okay, so let's also speak about this interesting report by The Ken, which says that WhatsApp wants to enable UPI payments in India. So that is interesting to me from multiple aspects. So first of all, we all know that WhatsApp is massive in India. I think 100 million is the monthly active users, or maybe even daily active users. I lost track of that number. And we also know that a lot of small businesses, they use WhatsApp to reach out to their customers and to like run their entire business basically. So if you add something like UPI payments to it, maybe WhatsApp could become the hub that Paytm wanted to become for all these people.
You know, that is definitely a possibility. The great thing about the UPI is that it is apparently pretty easy to implement, is what most of the people I've spoken to on this tell me, that you don't, as long as you have a banking partner, you don't really need to do too much. It's pretty straightforward and you can get it up and running without too much cost or too much time. And because it has so many different stakeholders, it's not a single entity like Paytm. So you have much more flexibility on who you work with and how you work with them. So we saw Truecaller launch its own UPI integration called, I think, Truecaller Pay with ICICI Bank very recently. And WhatsApp is going to have to also work with one of the UPI partner banks in order to offer payments through WhatsApp. But you're absolutely right. So many businesses do actually run on WhatsApp. You have, for instance, you have organized businesses such as the middleman for your grocery retailer, who will tell him what's in the mandi at what rate, and he will tell them, okay, I want this many kilos of that and that many kilos of this. And that's one side of the business. But then that same grocery retailer is also going to be sending a WhatsApp message to your house saying, सर ये भिंडी आज इतने किलो पे, इतने रुपए पे किलो है, एंड देन यू कैन टेल हिम हाँ एक पाव भेज देना, राइट? दैट्स ऑल्सो हैपनिंग राइट नाउ. इट्स नॉट समथिंग विच इज एनविजन, आई थिंक इट्स एक्चुअली हैपनिंग. एंड देन वेन द गाय कम्स, यू हैंडिंग हिम कैश. नाउ इफ आई कुड ऑल्सो डू अ पेमेंट थ्रू दैट सेम मैसेज राइट देयर, एंड इट गोज फ्रॉम माई बैंक अकाउंट इन टू द गायज बैंक अकाउंट, राइट? दैट वॉज द अदर प्रॉब्लम विच आई थिंक अ लॉट ऑफ पीपल had with Paytm, although it's become easier and easier to get money into your account from your Paytm wallet, but there's still that layer of abstraction between your wallet and your bank account. A lot of people still see the wallet as something different from actual money in the bank. UPI doesn't really have that layer of abstraction at all. I've sent money via Bheem or WhatsApp Pay or whatever it'll be called, and it's in the seller's bank account immediately, and he can use that to pay people, he can withdraw that money from a bank branch or an ATM, whatever he wants to do. So in those ways, it does sound quite exciting.
I think to me it's essentially reached a point where I don't know if you guys keep hearing what the big VCs keep talking about oh how China's so awesome because you have WeChat powering all payments and being the app of all things, basically being the app that does payments, that does social media, that does everything. I mean, for India, it's essentially going to be WhatsApp cobbled together with other local services such as UPI. So I think I mean, to me, that's what's going to be an interesting draw going forward. Because I mean, fine, you can probably use Facebook for vanity, use Instagram for whatever, but then you're going to end up using WhatsApp to get your day-to-day life stuff done, which I think is pretty cool. And I mean, yeah, fine, it's not exactly a solution that's as elegant as WeChat that has everything integrated in, but I think it's one that works for the country.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I have seen so many people who use WhatsApp for their businesses. In fact, just yesterday I was speaking to one person who has a startup that is into urban farming. So they use WhatsApp for troubleshooting as of now, but they still require people to make payments via other methods such as a bank transfer or by card or by cash or whatever. But if WhatsApp can integrate this payment thing, as we've seen with the job listing on their website, which says that they're looking for somebody based in the US who understands UPI, Aadhaar, and Bheem and works in India. I mean, so this listing is a very clear indicator that they are serious about this and they're at least exploring it, if not like rolling it out. So if they integrate this kind of a payment system, I can see a lot of people adopting WhatsApp directly instead of relying on cash. And I see this implement I mean this kind of implementation, I see this helping the informal sector a lot, simply because there are a lot of people even now, with even after this demonetization thing happened, who don't have bank accounts and who still, even if they have bank accounts, they're just lying there and they deal in cash on a day-to-day basis. So if you can send money via WhatsApp to everybody, then that would be a big change for a country like India.
No, I was just going to point out that this will not help people who don't have bank accounts. UPI does need to be linked to a bank account. That's just one small correction there.
Yeah, so only thing is that like somebody who has something like a Jandhan account
Yeah,
can also
absolutely.
maybe use these services and finally make
Absolutely.
use of the accounts they have now.
Absolutely.
I think what's also interesting is that this gives us some insight into what we can expect next from WhatsApp. Because, I mean, let's be honest, once you have a payment system integrated, the next step is to build trust around it. So I won't be surprised if they start having verified accounts for merchants or some form of or some form of visibility to make sure that you're dealing with a trusted account going forward. At least that's something the bigger companies would be interested in. So I think we're probably going to see WhatsApp get a little more serious in terms of, the other spheres where it can be relevant, rather than just, passing forwards that may or may not be true, such as, nano chips in a 2,000 rupee note.
Yeah, so another thing here is that we've been wondering for a very long time when WhatsApp is going to start making money. Because WhatsApp does not have any ads, it's a totally free service. And if not for the Facebook acquisition, right now it probably would have very little to no revenue at all. So even now, after the Facebook acquisition, now it has that safety net of Facebook, which is one of the biggest companies in the world. So with this kind of a thing integrated, maybe they can finally look at ways to make money, like what Rishi said about offering, say, a service like verifying merchants, etc., for a small cost.
You know, I'm not sure. I'm not sure about that directly because look at it like this. A company like Truecaller is already offering a kind of verification that this person is the person that you are theoretically talking to, right? And Truecaller also has payments integrated. So if I am a merchant, would I rather tell a person, okay, now that you've made your order, go to the Truecaller app and make the payment? Or would I pay somebody else, pay WhatsApp money just to get this mode enabled? And, you know, because I can give you another example of how people are using WhatsApp to handle commerce. So there is a local restaurant here which will take your order via WhatsApp. You just chat to them, tell them what you want. And then they basically say, okay, now just go to your UPI app, go to your Bheem app or whatever, and send money to this number. So these guys are already doing this, and they would definitely prefer it, I'm sure, if it was in a single interface, so they don't have to tell the customer, now go and do this. But if it involves paying extra money, I'm not sure if it would be worth it for them, or the amount of money would be too low for it to be worth it for WhatsApp, you know?
So essentially, we're looking at a Frankenstein known as True WhatsApp Caller.
Yeah. And you know, I mean, while we've been talking about WhatsApp over here, considering that Facebook has shown very little inclination to keep its product separate of late, I mean, can you imagine Instagram for India with payments? I mean, there are a lot of people actually who do sell products through Instagram. I know people who sell clothes, who sell things like quilts and things via Instagram. So if you were to tell them, well, now you can layer in payments onto Instagram, can you imagine how happy those guys would be?
Yeah, and also Instagram is all about decorative pictures of all kinds, right? It's pretty artistic, the photos they put up, which may or may not be what exactly the product looks like, but yeah, at least it's a way to showcase your wares and then maybe accept payments in the future. And all Paytm needs to do now is probably roll out a messenger. So Paytm Messenger could be the ultimate dream for that company. Never really know what exactly will happen in this space in the future. So yeah, I guess that's all we have for this episode of Orbital, and we will see you with another episode next week. As always, don't forget to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and Instagram at Gadgets360, and do rate us on iTunes. It helps a lot.